D7-2 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 114 of the Geeksters. We're here on Tuesday. Like always, we've had a great fiscal week. Last week, we had a great chance to talk to Corey Fruitman from Instant House Call. I apologize for that. And just a good time. This is a show, if you haven't joined us, or this is your 100th time, or your first time, this is a show about techs, just our life, what we do in the tech realm, and you know, just a story about us. We come across some crazy things that we like to tell you, come across some news articles we like to talk about. If it's tech-related, we handle it. We like to talk about it. So let me introduce my co-hosts. We have Tim Bauermeister. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, man. I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. And Mitch, how you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
So, Mitch, there's a bit of a change of scenery there behind you. Are you in the kitchen?
No, I'm in the same place, just a different part of the room. I'm on my Linux machine, Manjaro, or Manjaro. I'm not sure how you say it. And I just wanted to try to do a recording on there and see if it sounds any different, or just try it, you know.
I think it sounds good.
He's in the southern end of the compound.
Southern end? I can figure it out, but it might take me a minute.
It's all right. Well,
the east wing.
I am on the southern end. Otherwise,
there you go. Awesome, Mitch.
It was a guess. I didn't know that.
You had a 25% chance.
That's right. Exactly right.
You sound good, Mitch. You sound real good. So, Mitch, what have you guys been up to this week?
Nothing. Just getting a lot of questions about Windows 7. I mean, Windows XP ending. What should I do? So I'm telling them, if it runs fine, keep it. We'll just maybe change your antivirus, and that's about it. Now there's people with really older machines that they won't even be eligible for Windows 7, so they're gonna have to get a new machine. But they can use it, just as long as your antivirus is up to date, because from what I understand, Security Essentials is still supposed to work. But it's not. Right, exactly. And I've read that. So I haven't tried it myself, but I'm telling these people what to do, and they're telling me it takes them to a web page, and they're telling them they got to do all this other stuff. I haven't tried it.
What happens?
Security Essentials will just tell you, hey, it's not supported anymore. Even though I remember reading that even though XP was expiring, that Security Essentials on Windows XP was going to hold off for like another year.
Really?
And then
What I read, it didn't say how long, but they said they were going to, like, at least temporarily, but eventually off of it.
Yeah, it seems to me like, from a PR standpoint, I would say no. I mean, this is it. It's done. It's time to move on, folks. But quietly continue to provide silent updates of some sort so that, people's experience continues to be what it is. It doesn't turn into some major disaster, but you can't tell people that, hey, you can't tell them it's not supported, but then continue to support it, at least in some aspect. That's one thing about getting off this whole XP thing is that I've been hearing more and more about things that you can do to maybe kind of like milk it along. That to me it was like, yeah, it's over, let's just move on. Any of you guys around when, Windows 95 went away, when Windows 2000 went away? What happened then? I mean, did people continue using their machines to their own detriment, or was the switch easy? I remember because XP, when XP came along, it seemed very weird to people. It was strange.
Yeah, I remember that kind of. I just started in computers, but yeah, I remember that. I don't remember the big hubbub about it. I just remember it.
I do. I remember going to 2000. It was like, it was really, I was really excited about it. It's been around for 12, 13 years. I mean, obviously it was a success. Now 2000, wasn't that more of an enterprise, OS? And it didn't have a lot of support, especially for, hardware drivers and whatnot at the time anyway. But right. XP, I remember It was just so, it was so nice. I mean, I can remember installing on like a, I used to do a lot of AMD machines back in the day. And it take 20 minutes to load, you know, and what, you know, it was great at the time. Now I'm a late bloomer. I didn't get into computers until like 96, I guess. Yeah. So I started from 95, then shortly, you know, 98 came out, and, then I started reading about stuff, and I took that A-plus course. But I can remember Windows XP. It was exciting for me.
No, I found an article that I think we brought up, and this is from January from the Next Web saying, the Next Web saying Microsoft extends updates for Windows XP security products until July 14, 2015.
Interesting.
And then, so I get these clients who call me up and say, I got this.
That's 15 months.
Right. I got this red box, and sure enough, you look, and it says Malwarebytes not Malwarebytes, but Microsoft Security Essentials is no longer supported on this operating system.
Hmm. Well, I recently, Martin and Tim, I got a laptop that was given to me recently. It's a P4. It's got XP, and I haven't even touched it. So I would go ahead and maybe after the show boot that up if it boots up, and I'll see what happens.
I had to hand crank it.
Well, I think it's really infected, so maybe I might not get anywhere anyway. So,
well, you know, computer tech. It's the screen is yellow on my side. Ask, what do you do if an XP machine is running software but not used for surfing on the internet? I say, just keep running it. If it's not on the internet, then you don't have any reason to have any issues with malware, spyware,
anything. There's no way you could get it unless you put a thumb drive in it or something.
I do have one customer that she kind of wants to go that route. She has several XP machines around that, and just... Of course, I mean, life changes a lot in 15 years or whatever it's been. And so, you know, these two desktops and the laptop, I mean, she's now, everything she's doing, we're just going to get her a nice laptop and a network attached storage to back up to. But, you know, kind of in between, I mean, instead of just transferring everything over, she said, she would feel more comfortable if one of the desktops, because there was quite a bit of business done on that one desktop, she said, I would like to just keep running it, just for peace of mind, just a few months, just so she's satisfied. I said, that's fine. I said, just unplug it. And I said, don't plug a flash drive into it. I said, as long as it's off the internet, I mean, feel free. But at the same time, you know, it's got to stay off your network here. It has to stay completely isolated. And that includes, you know, as soon as you unplug a flash drive or an external hard drive from a machine that was connected to the internet to, you know, this, you know, you, all of a sudden now you do run that risk of contaminating it. But yeah, I mean, if it's, we would run into that, we'd run into all the time going into, you know, working in machine shops. You know, there were CNC machines running, there was DOS, there was Windows 3.1, you know, 95, and the whole thing up. Well, those are isolated machines, and so as long as the hardware doesn't give out, it's set. I guess that's kind of a long answer to computer tech's question, but as long as it's off the internet, hey, go for it.
Oh, yeah, it's a very stable operating system. There's no reason, just like you said, there's no reason. I mean, you don't see people jumping out and you're running out to replace Windows XP embedded ATMs because they're not online. They just do what they do. And
hey, Martin, there's a good question. If you finish reading that,
computer
tech. Yeah, he's got the cameras on there on XP. First of all, you don't even know how old the machine is if it does qualify for a Windows 7 upgrade. You have to take that into consideration.
I mean,
and then the capture cards or the security cameras may not work in Windows 7, so you don't know. You have to take that all in consideration. Check it out first.
Right, so for people listening after the fact, Computer Tech says, say a capture card for security cameras and other software for it. Do you replace the capture card with something that will support Windows 7/8, replace it with the DVR, or keep using it since it's working? You know, you have no immediate need right now, Computer Tech, to go ahead and replace that. There's no need for you. So in the future, if this client or yourself, you say, you know what, I want to upgrade this machine, then upgrade it. But you have there, you know, your machine is going to just keep chugging along. And if it's working, then just let it work. You know, Tim mentioned he had, you know, CNC machines running Windows 95. It's just going to do what it needs to do. And shy of hardware failure, I say keep going until you find a need or an itch to upgrade it later on.
You know, and you know what? It's actually if it's an isolated machine, it's never connected. There's no issue of any contamination whatsoever. You're almost looking at a machine. If you were to do a clean install, it's like, well, I wonder how many updates you would even have to install. Yeah, service packs. Depending on what you're doing with it, you would almost be better off to just install the bare minimum. Because interesting how many of those machines were sold with like 256 megs or half a meg, and they were probably fine on day one. But after you start installing service packs and all the updates and everything, it's like, oh, now you need a gig, now you need a gig and a half, or whatever it is. And so, I never thought about that, but it's like, I would never imagine machine leaving, XP leaving without Service Pack 3 and the whole thing, but it's like, gosh, you know, it's just sitting there. It's just running whatever it's doing. In this case, a capture card, which it probably would require a lot of those. But it's like, if it's just sitting there doing its own thing, you probably wouldn't have to do anything more to it than absolutely what you'd have to do just to get it going. And that would be great for lower-end hardware. The only thing that I'm thinking about with Computer Tech's question is that, you know, anything running XP isn't going to be new, and if it's running, you know, these are security cameras, so you want them to continue working and not have any discover that just stopped working. I'm sure they have systems in place for that, but it seems to me like something that age, if it's really critical, it might be time to be looking at maybe just decommissioning just due to age. I don't know. I mean, that's the one thing that got jumped out at me, but I'm sure that's a consideration they've had.
Yeah. I agree. So what I ended up doing for those clients who the Microsoft Security Essentials went away, I just put the free version of Avast on.
Right.
And I had to come up with something free. I had to come up with something lightweight because this one customer, she's got a fairly old HP, and I needed something fairly lightweight. So I just went with Avast. I've used, I only have one other client who uses Avast in an enterprise setting, and it's a school. They got it for free from, Avast gives that to education for free. And it seems to work fine. I haven't had any outbreaks. So, and I get notices and stuff from it saying, hey, these computers were cleaned or these computers were running fine. So I just put the free version on there and away she went. Go ahead.
Some of the other suggestions that I've heard thrown out, very good suggestions, is especially since it is XP, is that you actually set the user up as a limited user, not as an administrator. Of course, Dor, he was suggesting using Sandbox IE, which is always a good idea anyway. But doing those two things now would actually, that was his point. Doing those two things would actually eliminate much of the threats that are out there right now, and probably continue to expect.
Oh yeah, no, I highly.
Avast is good. Avast is good. I like that.
I haven't used it very much, so
I'm trying to think what else is out there. What else is free, relatively lightweight, and is probably going to continue to offer support?
Well, the problem you run into is that a lot of the antiviruses now are their suites, so. If you're running a low end Microsoft X, if you're running a low end box and you need antivirus, the last thing you want is to throw on a 600 megabyte, antivirus suite to make sure you're protected. Well, then what's the point? I can't get online because my antivirus and firewall and security blocker is keeping me from getting online. So essentially, I guess I've done the point.
Well, you could throw your
computer off of a pier into the water and do the same thing too.
They call with the same complaint. It's slow, and I can't get on the internet.
Yeah.
At least with the bad guys, there's a window where they can use it at first.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know of any other small ones that you think of like AVG and stuff like that. That used to be small, but now it's ginormous.
There was Anti-Avira, remember that? Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And Kamado, I think, has a free one. There's still some free stuff out there. Avast, I used to love Avast. I mean, I think it was the only thing out there that does a boot up scan, I believe.
Yeah.
Before it boots the Windows.
Yeah, it'll do a boot up scan.
And every time I've tinkered with it, just every once in a while I'll revisit it, and I'm always very pleased with it and the features it's added. And the problem I have with it is actually what I like, is that it's just, it's too much. It's too feature rich. There's too many the buttons right, to right. click and switches to throw, and that's not what my residential users want or should have any. It's like, that's what I liked about the Security Essentials. It just had the background, and it was happy, and it did its job quietly. And but I always liked it. Every time I look at this Avast, I'm like, this is awesome. You know, I had like a, it actually had a little sandbox built into it last time I was playing with it, and all kinds of neat stuff. And yeah, I thought it was pretty fantastic. Hmm. Is there any have you guys heard anything about some of these like antivirus like these free versions of stuff, how long they're going to continue to support XP? I guess if they thought Microsoft was going to do it for 15 months, that was probably their game plan. But
no, I haven't. I don't know
if you guys had heard. I had not. I have not heard anything. So
Yeah. So I came across an odd thing last week. It was actually last Wednesday, so it was the day after our show. Got a call from a friend first thing in the morning saying that his sister's Windows 8 machine, it was an Asus, his sister's Windows 8 machine no longer boots. It was booting. I don't know if I mentioned this, but it was booting to the CD-ROM and then to the hard drive, and they didn't like that, so they just went into the BIOS and they booted it. They changed it from the CD-ROM to hard drive to CD-ROM.
Yeah.
They rebooted the machine, blank screen. Wouldn't boot. So I go, well, all right. I mean, that's all they did. I mean, that's... So,
that's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, all right, I'm back.
So I go, I pick up this computer and I'm looking at it and I turn it on and I can hear the fan put up to my, but it there's nothing on the screen. Now, you know, you do a quick visual on the computer, just a quick, you know, and one of the things I noticed was the bottom right-hand corner of the monitor, there's a piece of plastic sticking out of it, which should have been on the other side of the bezel. I'm like, okay, that's a little odd. I'll just throw that in the back of my head and I'll keep that. And so she says, I have tax information on there. I need to get taxes, you know, off. Is my data good? And I said, yeah, your data is good. Let me just take it with me. I'll mess with it at home. It could be video card. I don't know. I brought it home, plugged in my external monitor, nothing. Plugged in my because I had HDMI port, plugged in my HDMI port, nothing. She just sent this back to the Asus for whatever reason. I can't remember what it was at the time. So I'm like, this is really weird. So I thought, well, let me throw a CD in. Maybe there's something going on with Windows. It's a Windows 8.1, a Windows 8 machine. I don't know if it's 8.1. I just know it's 8. Throw a CD in, and the CD starts spinning up. And I can hear it trying to read the CD, and then it reboots. And then I hear it try to read the CD, and then it reboots. And I'm like... Or no, the computer itself doesn't reboot. It just keeps trying to read the CD. So I'm thinking, okay, it's now a visual. Now there's something up with the video. So I'm looking at the computer, and one of the things I didn't notice is that when I pulled the, it's a laptop, when I pulled it down, I looked at the top of the bezel of the laptop, and she said, I just got this back from Asus, and there are actually flathead screwdriver pry marks on the top of the machine. And I'm like, what? So I grab it, and they had actually broken tabs off. I could take the machine, the top of the bezel, and I could spread it about a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is so not right. Somebody screwed up on this one. Mm-hmm. So pulled off her, you know, pulled the hard drive out, and I tested with my hard drive, nothing. Tested with a live CD, nothing. Took the battery out, nothing. Reseated the RAM, nothing. RAM out, battery out, no power, you know, just the power supply. No beep. I mean, this thing doesn't beep. It doesn't squeal. It doesn't make any noise at all.
Wow.
So, you know, put it in my toaster, move over almost 64 gigs worth of data to her. So I give it to her on a thumb drive, and I go and I show her, and I said, these are some of the things that I saw. And I went through it, and she goes, yeah, there's a problem. So she's going to go take it back to Avast. So she got her data off, but it seemed kind of weird. And now it was a friend's sister, and she works in technology. So I don't, she just said, she was very honest, and she says, I work in technology at the VA hospital for the VA system. I'm not an idiot. And I said, no, I know. And she said, all I did was change the BIOS, the boot order in the BIOS. And it freaked out.
It's just a coincidence.
That's what I told her. I said, I don't think what you did had anything to do with this. I think it was a coincidence that this failed, and this really needs to go back, because if this was a new machine, you sent it to Asus, and they sent you a new frame with Primarks on it, there's a problem. Or a new chassis. So
Did you Google it up? Was there any other this model with that similar
issues? Okay. Yeah, people are saying no. Well, basically, I Googled no video, and everybody's like, try the RAM, try the power supply. If that doesn't work, take it back. Could be bad motherboard. You know, try unplugging it, holding this button in, tapping your toes 3 times, throwing some cinnamon over your right shoulder, and then send it back to Asus. You know, it was just those kind of things where everybody has their own opinion of what could be causing it, and none of it worked. And
it wasn't as if Googling that model yielded hundreds of results of the exact same thing.
No.
Okay,
no.
Yeah. So
it was results of Asus, send it back.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Gotcha. I don't like your story. It doesn't resolve.
It resolves by me.
I like the complaint. I like the issue. But I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, wow. I was working through it. It was just something broken.
Yeah.
I don't like coincidence. That's no way to end a story that it was just coincidence.
Oh well.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. I like your story. I should have said I don't like it. I do like the story.
Well, you know.
That's too bad, but that's a very that is absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know. She's gonna send it back. So
think about that. That was actually something I was gonna mention. That I had a bunch of laptops here that I had. Mitch, you got problems?
I'm not recording anymore. It just shut down on me, Audacity.
Okay. Well, we'll grab the audio from the live stream. Don't worry about it.
That's all cool. Right. So yeah, actually, that's funny. I had several laptops here just last couple days that I had screens in and out of, and it's not exactly a pro tip, but something that I did want to mention is that the stupid little rubber bits that, you know, cover up the screws that, of course, if you lose one, I have no solution for you, but, I mean, you just have to go pry one off somewhere else. But it's like they will stick on there for 30 years, but as soon as you pry it off, there's no way it's going to stick right back on there. So what do? I hate that because, you know, when you give it back, you want it to go, you want the little bits on there, you want them to stay on there. And, you know, when somebody brings me something somebody else has worked on and there's like, those little things are missing, I always think, God, so cheesy. But then it's like, well, what am I going to do to make sure? And I had kind of an epiphany that I ran over and my wife's been out of town, it's no secret. And I ran up and stole her hot glue gun. Bam, perfect. Get that thing going. Just the tiniest little dab of that hot glue in there, and just real quickly, just jab that little rubber bit on there. It's wait, you know, it's like just hold it on there, wait for a 10 count, let it off, wait 5 minutes, scrape off all the little spider webs. Perfect. They were stuck on there beautifully. They're not coming off, and so not a pro tip. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how everybody feels about hot glue guns, but hey. I'm secure enough my masculinity to say that I found a use for one.
No, I think it's a good idea. I'm curious how strong it's going to stay on there. And not that it will fall off, but that if you ever have to do this again, are you going to be like just bending your screwdriver trying to get that off there?
Yeah, no, and that's, I'll tell you what, that was that was one thing I kind of like tested with. Basically, the trick is just to don't use any more than you have to, only because it's going to squeeze out and you got to clean it off anyway. So you don't need much, just enough to kind of just get it on there and hold it on there. And there were a couple that I did pry off, and there's enough residual just dirt and grime, and then it scraped off easily enough that I felt confident that this was a good solution. I don't think it's a perfect solution. I'm thinking maybe if you had little rubber cement boogers or something, that would probably be something that was a little, you know what I mean, something that was a little softer, because that hot glue, once it cools down, it does dry, it sets up kind of hard. I think you'd want something a little more flexible, but you know, at least in a pinch, that's a good thing to grab. And I'll tell you what, I have found a number of times that hot glue gun has been awfully handy. Sometimes I'll have, you know, your laptop, you're trying to, you know, run cabling around, and maybe something just doesn't, it's like just a little tiny dab of it, not half a drop. That's like digging half a hole, but I mean, just like half a drip, just a little bit. It just stick a wire in it, and then it'll stay there and it won't go anywhere, but it's, you know, no harm, no foul. It can always be undone. So, there's a number of times that I have found that awfully handy, just as, hold things together as you're maybe reassembling things. So, but you maybe think about that laptop is that like almost every laptop screen I've ever pulled out, there's oftentimes there are screws around the bezel, but there's always screws at the bottom.
Right.
And so, and those bezels, as they remove, they always remove from the bottom. So, you know, the bottom pries off, and then the sides pry off, and then the top kind of lifts away. If you start prying from the top, you're going to break it. You'll be like, I don't know how this is ever supposed to come apart. Well, it's not supposed to come apart from the top first. And so you jog my memory there. That's they had somebody new working on that, I'm afraid, down at the ACES Repair Center. He should have had some hot glue and just glued it back together.
There you go.
He should listen to this show. We got him all fixed up. So, but yeah, those bezels, they always, you'll be amazed. You start prying from the bottom, and actually, like, here's a pro tip. You don't like a lot of things. You'll slide a guitar pick or something from the outside. If you actually grab the bezel on the screen side and pry it to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the bezel on the screen side and pry it to you, yeah.
Yeah.
So from the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Not from the edges, yeah. Come from the screen out.
Yeah, if you just, like, as you're looking at it, if you just get your fingernails underneath it, you know, so as your fingers are resting on the screen, you get your fingernails underneath that bezel, and then you roll it to you, it'll just unsnap really nicely. If you're trying to pry it from the outside, like you would think anything would, oftentimes that is not the way that they want to come apart. If you just pry it from the inside, it's one of those things. I mean, plastic and snaps, it's like nothing, you would think nothing should ever be built this way. But after doing like three or four of them, it has just been so long for me, I'd kind of forgotten about it. That after I did three or four, I was just rolling through them. I'm like, oh, this is great. So, yeah, that's kind of the trick with those. I don't know. I hope that helps somebody somewhere. But yeah, those you made me think of that poor dude. It's probably his first day. It's probably his last day too. he had a flathead screwdriver in there, and he was just going to town on it.
And he did. He it's not like, oh yeah, I kind of see a mark here. He. You rub your hand across it, and it's like,
I worked with a guy like that. We did work. It was very fine. I mean, you had to have a fine touch. You had to have an eye for color. And, I mean, this guy was, he just didn't know how to use anything smaller than a sledgehammer. And it just, everything to him was a railroad spike. I mean, and every tool, yeah, everything. It just, you took a sledgehammer to it. So,
Jeff, TechNuts PC in the chat room says that he uses Zots, Z-O-T-S. It's these clear adhesive dots, and it looks like they're probably double-sided sticky. And he sometimes uses pieces of plastic and Zots, puts them back in there, and it's an interesting one. I've never heard of that one.
Beautiful. I'm guessing that's probably what was originally used.
Yeah, they sell them at Joann's too.
Know. I mean, so. 300 of them for $6. I don't know.
There's 300 of them for $3.99 online only at Joann's. So,
well, you know what? I'm not walking into Joann's. Is that?
My wife likes Joann's and Michael's.
You know what? Actually, thanks, Jeff. Because you know what? That right there is what I should be using right there. So for $30, it'd be worth it. Good call.
You mentioned sledgehammers, and the school that I helped out with this last weekend, they were doing a recycle drive. So you could bring any electronics. You could bring anything. I mean, if it has any metal in it at all, they'll take it. And so instead of me taking it down to my local recycling place and just dropping it off, I took it to them. They actually were taking apart computers, and one kid was just going. I left all my hard drives here because I thought some of the sensitive hard drives I don't want to mess with. I'll just, sure. You know. So I took all my recycling down there, and they're taking pieces apart, and they're like, they're actually disassembling computers, not just throwing them in a pile. Completely motherboard, cables, separating everything by in bins. Yeah. And one kid was going to town with a sledgehammer on hard drives. Just going to town. And I said, you're smashing hard drives? Oh, yes. I come home, I grab my hard drives, and I get there with this stack of hard drives, and I'm like, all right, I need you to smash these two hard drives
while I'm standing here. Yeah. And I said, and I really, because the guy's like, the guy who's helping it out, it's like, hit him a couple times so they really get a good dent in him, and that's it. I'm like, no, I want you to destroy, you know, yeah. One was a client's old computer that had financial data on it. A couple of them were my old servers that had data on them. I'm like, I want you to put a hole through these things. And the kid just, he was happy to oblige.
Oh,
big old grin and just went to town. So I was like, awesome. And they made and they made money because anything that came in, they got to keep the finance, they keep the profit on. So I was like, sweet.
What, like just scrap?
Yeah, just scrap metal. Whatever they weigh them all at the very end, and they get $100 per. So I was taking them. I mean, I dropped them off. Well, I dropped it off at the wrong spot first because there was another group of people that were there like ahead of this group, and they were just taking stuff. If it could be used for anything, they were like, sweet. So I start handing off my laptops or my hard drives to them and the computers to them, thinking this is the group, right? And I'm like, have you guys seen, you know, the person I work
like,
with? And
you know, these were like electronic gypsies.
Oh, yeah. So what this one guy was doing, and I overheard him. He's like, oh, we should rebuild this one, and we could take that one and rebuild that one. And I'm like, whoa. I was told we were going to recycle these. I said, I want them destroyed. He's like, oh, fine. And then I'm driving away, and I see the person I'm looking for. I'm like, well, who are those people over there? Yeah, they're kind of just collecting stuff, and they're, and I'm like, all right, hold on. And I went, and I they'd put all my stuff on a cart, and I grabbed the cart, and I walked away with all my 8 computers that I was dropping off.
Oh my gosh, that's so like, that's funny because it looks like you donate, then you're like,
right.
Like a change of heart, like, no, I can't let him go. I want him back.
Yeah, so it was like, oh. But that was my Saturday. That was pretty fun. I got a chance to go out with my son because we just went back and forth and dropped off a whole bunch of computers. And they were all excited because I dropped off my servers. And and I was just glad to
house.
I was glad to get stuff out of my house.
Oh, man, tired. Good for you. That's outstanding. The Goodwill locally that's based out of Pittsburgh, I, you know, big, have a whole network of stores. But they've had for decades, they've had a really awesome program where they teach. I can't really tell you much more than what I know, but I know that it's a program. It's in place, been in place forever to help people who are, you know, I guess just mentally disadvantaged or challenged. You know, they have them in there, all the electronics, you know, computers and stuff that's been donated. They oversee them. They teach them how to, you know, reassemble them and do all actually get them to where they can then put them on a shelf and resell them. Of course, I mean XP was around so long. It was that was awesome for that. But they what they found, and of course it was like I don't know why they had to make it like a big sting operation, but I think one of the local news channels bought a couple of them. And ran like data recovery software. And what they found was that they were able to pull tons and tons of data off of them where they weren't wiping them. So, you know, looking back on it, I mean, it really gave a black eye, which was unfortunate. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I suppose that maybe, to be fair, this was, I want to say it was at least 15 years ago, might have been 20, that this happened. So, I don't want to make them look really foolish or anything, but this was something that was happening. And then after Rand, this was like, you know, they put that policy in place that they would be, fully wiping the drives, you know, with a like any of us would, you know, with what's it take? You just put
D-band
Nuke, and you know, I mean the way it writes all this. What is it? It's like they have the DoD standards and all this, and it's like, well, you know, that seems a bit much. But it's nice to know that it just goes and does that. But I thought that was really kind of unfortunate. But you maybe think of that. Those electronic gypsies that the poor Goodwill, they're just trying to do something good for like people. And here they kind of got caught up in that. So that's important. I mean, yeah, computers, you could take it, but any of the those drives, man.
Yeah, definitely want to be careful.
Unless you were watching them destroy it. I mean, I don't trust anybody to do it. I was doing it myself, but of course you were that's different if you're going to stand there and watch them.
Well, I was told that they were going to, I was assured that they were going to be destroying the hard drives, but I wanted to make sure that they were destroying them. Like, they were going to destroy them at the recycling center in one big batch, but I want to make sure that this, this one, if it fall out of the back of the truck, for whatever reason, as it drives down the road, I don't want somebody just to plug it in and go, hey, check out this site.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, that sounds, and I love that kid. I mean, the kid that was actually, like, he found, like, his niche in computers.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, like, his mother never believed he would, but mom working at computers, and he's just drilling, just destroying.
When he wasn't doing anything, he was just standing there with a sledgehammer in hand like Thor, just ready to go. And it was great. I'm like, here you go. Have at it. And he was like, rawr!
I love it.
So
I love that.
I know he walked away definitely with a big smile on his face that day, and son and I were like, all right.
That's great. That's awesome. That's what I love about computers. Everybody can find, like, their place.
That's right. There's always something to do in a computer.
There's always something. Absolutely. What was, I mean, they're collecting all this stuff. There's no issue with, clearly the electronics were sorted out. I mean, was there an issue? I mean, obviously that's always the big thing with heavy metals and the this and that. And so.
Well, I think that's why they were actually having to sort them on site. And whatever they didn't sort would go back to, I mean, if you donate to this company, they will sort them and they'll rip them apart and do all that stuff on site. They hired people, but this was since they were offering as a free service of basically just, here's the computers, come and pick them up. Then they were kind of asking for a little bit of, hey, if we're going to give this to you for free and you get all the profit and we just supply you with some stuff, then maybe as a kickback, you can at least put in some effort to
the sweat equity.
Exactly. And so, and I mean, it was for 2 hours, 4 hours, 10 to 2. So it was, 4 hours of just people just pulling apart.
That's awesome.
So I definitely wanted to go donate my stuff.
When I was a kid, I would have paid you to spend 4 hours on a Saturday just tearing computers apart. I mean, I would have loved that. That would have been right up my alley.
Oh yeah.
That's great. That's like a win. What was where were the proceeds going?
I mean, it was the school that I help out here. It's St. Matthew's Catholic School.
Gotcha. Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah, private elementary school.
Was it just computers, or were they taking all kinds of stuff?
Anything. I threw the brochure away, but it was, refrigerators, washers, dryers, computers, any electronic, that kind of stuff that you would, DVDs, TVs, electronics, small appliances, things like that.
Yeah.
So people had dropped off TVs, people had dropped off a lot of computers. The big thing was the computers. And actually, what part of it was is that we were able to, in the school, we had printers and old computers just kind of piling up in the corner. Yeah. That all went. So, what I've heard is that the lab where I'll be back there tomorrow is nice and cleaned out now. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, well, that's great. That's a great story. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know, I've got one more customer. I was going back through I always forget what I was doing, and I would go back through my calendar and see, and I had one, and I just came across this one name that I had completely forgotten that I had worked for this customer. if you don't mind me going ahead.
Nah, go for it, buddy.
I got a call from a construction company who needed some upgrades. They needed QuickBooks update, things like that. I said, well, what machine are you running? They said Vista. They said, but the boss is adamant that this whole, so this was on the 9th, I went there on the 9th, that on because of April 8th, that they cannot use their computer.
Okay.
So I showed up on the morning of the 9th, and she's like, I'm so glad you're here, because I was told by my boss not to use the computer at all yesterday. Because he was really worried that come April 8th, the world was going to end.
Yeah, this was like a Y2K.
Oh, yeah. And so I said, but you have Vista. He's like, yes, but he doesn't know that. And he keeps asking me, and I keep telling him he doesn't believe me. So when he gets here, could you tell him that I could use my computer? So he showed up, and I said, this is Windows Vista. It's still good for a while. You're good to go. Okay, great. And then I get to work on, cleaning this computer. And, oh, my gosh. I bet you if I had a 20-sided die and I wrote every kind of malware, spyware, toolbar, I would have rolled it and been like, yep, I had it. So this computer hadn't been touched in years, and just, you know, oh, well, to play that video file, you need this application. Oh, and to play that thing, you need this. Oh, and because you installed that, we installed this toolbar, which then installed that toolbar, which, it, you know. So I was there for like 4 hours just cleaning the computer, just getting it up to date. You know, Windows updates, she was doing all the Windows updates, but it had every kind of toolbar under the sun, conduit. It was just a big mess, and so we got them all cleaned up, and then after that we upgraded QuickBooks, and it's a very old machine, but it was just one of those days where I just sat down and, you know, here we go.
I had the exact same machine. I was Windows 7, but I was disappointed in myself and not counting how many toolbars there were, because I just started going through, just uninstalling. And by the time I got to, like, I don't know, 10 or 15, I'm looking and I'm like, I don't think I'm even halfway through yet. I could not believe how many toolbars. And they just told me it ran slow or poorly or whatever. They had been very, very patient with this machine. I logged in, created an administrator account, logged back out, logged in the administrator account. I just started working from there. And, it was unbelievable how much crap was on there. And so I did all the, I had installed everything, and, I saw something I hadn't seen in a while. It made me laugh, was the Sweet Packs. Jeff Sweet Packs on there? What is that?
I think it's some, you know, click shopping bonus return. You know.
I don't know. I mean, the name is like intriguing, but like in a closed door kind of way. I mean, I don't know. It makes me feel like kind of creeped out a little bit. I mean, I'll tell you what I did was I uninstalled a ton of stuff manually, and I did run Malwarebytes, and since I had it overnight, I went ahead and rebooted and ran Kaspersky Rescue Disk. Since nothing had ever, this machine was, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, I don't know how old it was, but I went ahead and ran Kaspersky Rescue Disk just to see what it would come up with. And it's like everything just kind of found some stuff here and there, and one of the last things I did do was after I booted in, especially booted the user's account, was I ran the junkware removal tool
I like to have a lot of toolbars.
Hey Mitch, could you find out the I don't know. Never mind.
That's like having the entire internet just right on.
It is. That's what it is. That's just all that is. See, he's just preloading the internet. It's just going to be that much faster.
It's like the entire.
Well, I have to get down here an hour and a half to for my machine to finally boot up to the desktop.
I ran the junkware removal tool. And I ran the ADW. What's the other one? The
AWD cleaner, something like that.
Yeah. What's
road cleaner?
I don't know. I mean the other one that's on that.
Yeah, AWD.
The other one.
Adware cleaner.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think the abbreviation. It's ADW. It doesn't matter. But anyway, they're both of them. And I tell you, I've really I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of both those programs. You guys are really. I'm really glad you brought those. Those things have proven themselves to be pretty fantastic. I don't know that they're necessarily 100% thorough. I mean, what is? But I tell you what, they do a great. I mean, they actually know as they're going through it, because some of them, I'm like, oh man, I can't remember if that's a good one or a bad one. And like Sweet Packs, those things, they know what they're looking for, and they go through it. And so, I really, really like those tools. But those are probably where I'll start from now on instead of trying to do it manually, because I didn't realize there were so many. Oh my gosh, it never ended. The list just went on and on and on. It was unbelievable. I took it back. They were like thrilled. It was like brand new to them.
Actually, what I installed, because there was so many. The problem I run into is that sometimes there's so many of them that I have no idea what they're called anymore. Yeah. I mentioned it. I brought this gosh, a while ago, shouldiremoveit.com. Mm-hmm. And it installs an executable, installs a little application, and then it ranks things kind of like a web of trust. Kind of ranks them with a number, a percentage, and a, you know, red, yellow, green type thing. And it, you can go in there, and you can actually uninstall right from the application. So that makes it pretty nice. So shouldiremoveit.com. And it just kind of gives you a way to go, I don't know what Sweetpax is. Oh, I see that 97% of everybody else removed it, so maybe it's I should remove it as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like Windows 8. I mean, a lot of people have removed.
shouldiremoveit.com, Windows 8, red.
I'm a real tough guy this week without anybody.
Oh, I thought that was your was a choice, Tim.
Now, you know what? I'll tell you what, although I'm not a user of Windows 8, I'm beginning to fall in love with it because it's like a crazy uncle. It just when you think it can't get into any more trouble, it goes and does something like even crazier. And it's I'm really enjoying this Windows. I'm not as a user, or I don't support it or anybody. But I tell you what, I'm beginning to really enjoy this Windows 8 because it's absolutely insane. What this? It's almost as if Microsoft is a startup, and they've. It's almost like Microsoft is a Russian car company that after all these years they just it's like a Cold War era crap that they're just putting out there. They have no idea. It's like half the people that work there. They just. I'm not saying they do, but I'm saying it's as if they just have to put a product out, and the people have to have it, and you'll just take it, and you know it's like. I don't know. You don't use Windows 8.1. Windows 8.1 uses you. So it's just, I'm loving this Windows 8. It's absolutely insane.
So you must be talking about one of the links that I want to bring up here. It says,
I'm talking about the whole thing, but yes, I tell you, the thing that finally brought a smile to my face was that link. I tell you, I just absolutely am fine. I love it. I love it. It's great.
So the tagline on this article, and this is from InfoWorld, says, Microsoft confirms it's dropping Windows 8.1 support. And you go, wait, what? So here's the deal. If you haven't listened to last week's show, let me catch you up really quick. Coming up soon, it looks like next month, there's going to be a Windows 8.1 patch, or like think of it as maybe a service pack. It's going to include the start menu. They're bringing that back. It's going to have the start menu. On one side, it's going to have your programs and your, you know, like you normally do in Windows, you click on it and you have your start and you have what do you have, printers and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. But then on the other half, so it's going to look like a Windows 7 split screen start menu. On the other half, on the right side, it's going to have kind of the tiled interface still. So you're going to have kind of a split-screen start menu. They're bringing that back starting in May. What Microsoft is now saying is starting in May. Okay, but to get that patch, you have to upgrade to 8.1. So right, you have Windows 8, Windows 8.1, Windows 8.1 Update 1. That's the
path. It's only been 1 week of, wow, I think they finally made this like maybe what they should have just introduced. It's like barely even time to digest.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They said last week, we're going to update this patch. And everybody said, finally, a start menu. Now they come out and say, unless you update to that patch, we will no longer support we will not push any security features, any security patches, any security holes. We're not going to fix it if it's broken, anything below that. Windows 8, hit the door. Windows 8.1, have a nice day. Windows 8.1, update 1, there you go. So not only have they pretty much said, we're getting Windows XP, you can't get Windows 7, you have to get Windows 8. Now they're micromanaging it to say, you have to have this certain pack right here or we're not going to support you. And
yeah, that's right. It's like Windows 8, no good. Windows 8.1, that's no good. You can't have that either. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like you almost live day to day wondering if
I know
if the sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Is that going to be an automatic update?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the best part. Most people, everybody needs it, but a lot of people can't get it.
Or no, if it's going to be an automatic update, you're going to get it.
No.
But the problem is Windows. There's over 300. I'm just going to put this in the chat room
because this so is actually awesome. Really
funny. They're pretty. Microsoft is not only saying you have to get this patch, or we're going to leave you alone. They're pretty much saying, I'm sorry you can't run as fast as us. All we need to do is run faster than the, you know, than, you know, you don't need to run very fast. You just got to run faster than the slowest guy.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so here it is. This is from InfoWorld, and I'll just start from the beginning. It says, okay, what is surely the most consumer agnostic move in the new Windows regime? Steve Thomas at Microsoft posted a TechNet article on Saturday stating categorically that Microsoft will no longer issue security patches for Windows 8.1 starting in May. This is the quote-unquote let-them-eat-cake approach to support for Microsoft's flagship operating system. This is now this is from Microsoft. Microsoft wants to ensure that customers benefit from the best support and servicing experience and to coordinate and simplify servicing across both Windows Server 2012 R2, Windows 8.1 RT, and Windows 8.1. This update will be considered a new service/support baseline. Beginning in May, the patch Tuesday, Windows 8.1 users' devices without the update installed will no longer receive security updates. This means that when Windows 8.1 users start patch Tuesday in May of 2014 and beyond, they will require this update to be installed. If Windows 8.1 update is not installed, those newer updates will be considered not applicable. And then it goes on to say, never mind that Windows 8.1 customers are still having multiple problems with errors when trying to install the update. At this point, there are 300 posts on the Microsoft Answer forum thread, Windows 8.1 update 1 failing to install with errors, and it gives a whole lot of errors. The Answers forums is peppered with similar complaints and a wide range of errors from more hex codes, from which there are no solutions from Microsoft. It says, never mind that Microsoft itself yanked Windows 8.1 update from the corporate WSUS update server shoot almost a week ago and still hasn't offered a replacement. So, and third-party updates, notably Malwarebytes, is encountering compatibility problems with the Windows 8.1 update. So if you can't if you do update, Malwarebytes will not work for you, and at least you're going to be secure for Microsoft. If you can't update, Malwarebytes will work for you, but you're not going to get any security holes, and Microsoft has not released any kind of fix for this. So
it's their problem.
Well, yeah, and this better be fixed within a month.
And they're blaming a whole lot of the consumer.
Well, I don't know who they're blaming, but it's just like, yeah. So it says, yes, you read that right. With 3 weeks left until Microsoft Windows 8.1 end of support.
It's just so absolutely bizarre. And you know what? It's what they're doing makes sense. I mean, it's if you boil it down, basically they have, you know, there's the Windows 8 and then the 0.1 and this and that. And over all these platforms, it's like, look, what they're trying to do is just stop all this. They just sit. And they use the word baseline, which is exactly right. Let's set a baseline. Okay, get everybody up to that point and then go from there. Okay, and because, I mean, there were, I can't remember how it's worded, but I mean, this is over, is there different platforms? There's different, how is it? It's, you know, we're not talking about just.
Well, it's, yeah, Server 2012 R2, Windows 8.1 RT, which is some of your tablet stuff, and then your 8.1.
There you go. Okay. And I think that's where I was like, okay, so I get this. All right. So you have all of those going on. You have all of the, how long has this been out? What, a year and a half? It's like, you know, let's just get everybody up to set that baseline. Okay. And then go from there. Okay. Well, that I get. That makes sense. But it's just the timing. It's so bizarre. And I think it's the semantics. It's like, it's almost as if they've changed the wording of the tech I'm really going to foul this up because it's the way they are describing these updates is almost like it's what. Ah, there you go. Okay, so the nomenclature, it's not that that's very good. I mean, it's just that these updates, they've now made what's always been so common, they've now made it just as foreign as the GUI itself. It's like, just call it a service pack. Why can't you just call it a service pack? I mean, is it that, we've had these updates. It's like 8.1, and now it's 8.1 update. And it's, I don't know. So the whole thing seems so bizarre to me, and it's actually the point where it's just almost hilarious. So I understand. Once I read through it like the third time, I said, "Okay, I see what they're trying to do." It's just that it's almost as if they have. You know, I've worked in places like this where like five people are in charge, and this is kind of what happens. You know what I mean, Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's almost as if there is like some kind of like central force moving in a certain direction, but I just get all these things that seem to be definitely not synced up with each other. So, but yeah, that was a wonderful thing to wake up to this morning, have a cup of coffee. But I got the biggest kick out of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. But
I have a feeling it's all going to work out.
Oh yes, yes.
But I think we're gonna have a few laughs along the way.
Oh yes. On another note, this Thursday, Ubuntu 14.04 is released. Long term support. So,
wait, say that again.
This Thursday, Ubuntu 14.04 long term support is released.
14.04.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to give it a shot.
Now, if I have Manjaro. If I have 14.01 update, am I okay?
There's no 14.01 update.
No? Okay.
No.
It's because it's not.
It doesn't. Yes, you're fine.
So, okay. 14.04 is okay. I'm not looking for 14.04 update.
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. So stupid. Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. They're actually calling it Windows 8.1 update.
Update 1.
So the update to Windows 8, which was 8.1, is not the update. Windows 8.1 update is what you want.
Right.
I thought Windows 8.1 was the update to Windows 8. But that's not update.
That's not updating.
That's what really got me.
I'm confused.
I know.
And you know what? That's what had me crying with laughter was that it was Windows 8 and then Windows 8.1, and now it's Windows 8.1 update, which is just so stupid.
It's Windows 8.1.1.
If you guys keep it up, I'm going back to Vista.
I never saw it called 8.1.1.
No, it wasn't. I'm just throwing it out there.
So that's what it is. But I saw it called Windows 8.1 update.
Yes, yeah, so that's what it's called.
Okay, all right.
It's not called patch. Like, it's not service pack. Like, no. You know, Windows 7 service pack 1. No,
it's.
And some people say it actually is a different operating system.
Oh, it's different, all right.
No, well, if you listen to the typical, I'm not going to mention the name of the show, but
different
you know,
than
Windows. You know, it comes on once a week. Show.
Wait, well, I'm really confused now. It's
well, it's I mean, I'm pretty mean? Sure she. If I understood it right, actually, with this update, it could be Windows 9 or. A different, I don't know. Never mind. Forget I just said that.
Oh, okay.
What were we talking about, Mitch? I forgot already.
Okay.
All right. I actually heard that Windows 8.2.1 is actually going to be based off iOS. Did you hear that? that's absolutely true.
Oh, you're talking about the phone.
No, I'm talking about the new ATM operating systems.
Oh.
That's a complete lie. But you know what? You can't even tell anymore. It makes just as much sense.
Am I pulling your leg? Am I not? I don't know. Am I going left? Or am I going right? I don't know.
It's you know what? Hey, it's all closed source. How's Apple ever going to know? Uh-huh. You know what? Maybe that is the kernel. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just like, what was it? Is there a name for that bird? That you ever see it like a bird that just it like dunks its head down the water? And it's like a science thing, and it tips its head.
It's called a duck.
Is it a duck? You know, I'm talking about it's like a science. It's like a science. It's like a science thing. It has a glass. Some solution. I think it cools and it makes it raise back up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I actually think that is the Microsoft the kernel. And it's just like that on a like like if you broke it down if you could actually see the code I think it's something I think that like ASCII text it's just like one of those just, anyway hey you know what actually after you know what this I saw a great I think this actually like any other day of any other week of any other year this would actually be a great story but after this Windows 8.1 update nonsense this is awfully tame, but the A company has received approval to go dig up the landfill where all of the Atari ET cartridges were buried.
Hmm. What?
Okay. So, you said that like you were not familiar with it. Do you know about the Atari ET cartridges that were buried somewhere out in, I don't even know where it is, Martin? Does this ring a bell to you at all?
No.
Okay. So basically, I think that most really geeky geeks probably, this is like something that, it's not an unusual story, but basically, you know, of course, the popularity of the Atari 2600, the most awaited game of history up to that point was E.T., of course, with the success of the movie, and obviously they had just more money than God to throw at this game. And when it finally came out, do you remember playing E.T. at all on the Atari 2600? Okay. I would imagine that most people, if it's not in their top, if it's not the worst, it's got to be in their top five, right? The worst game of all time. And so they had so many of these games already made, ready to sell, and the thing died so badly that they had just, I don't know how many. I mean, just, I'm imagining like boxcars of these things that they couldn't, what do you do with them? And so I always thought it was just an accepted fact, but I don't know. I suppose that there is some urban legend that's kind of built up around it that these things basically just went out. I think they were, encased in concrete or something, as I'm trying to recall, but they were buried in a landfill. to me, I think it's like to protect the manufacturer that nobody would go and get them, but I'm thinking that actually that game was so bad, it was probably to protect the consumer, that nobody would accidentally get a hold of an ET game. It was just the worst. So after all of these years, a company's been pursuing this, they actually have wanted to have the rights to go dig this up. I don't even know why. It's so stupid, but it's so funny that and there's a film crew and they're going to do the whole thing. So I think it's awesome that this horrible black eye on the history of gaming. They're going to go dig it up like it's
apparently this sounds like maybe a myth, and that's why they're going to dig it up. It's kind of like Al Capone's thing with Geraldo Rivera, right?
That's what I was kind of thinking of. That I didn't realize that to me this was just like an accepted fact. I mean, it's just like me learning now that if you go into the caves in Idaho or whatever, that there's no nuclear waste buried there. To me, it's like, didn't realize that there was some urban legend a bit to it anyway. But yeah, they're gonna go dig it up. And so what's their motivation? This fuel.
I think it's just fuel. It sounds like it's just we want to acknowledge that if this is an urban legend or not.
Fuel Entertainment. They got permission to dig up the game. They've acquired exclusive rights to the landfill.
Exclusive rights.
they've acquired exclusive rights to a landfill. It's so awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be great. This is they're going to excavate it. They're going to excavate April 26th. I'll tell you what. Martin, you know what they ought to? You know what they ought to throw in that big hole they dig up?
Here it comes. Here it comes. Now wait a minute. Are you stating that you feel that the 31-year-old Atari 2600 ET game is more valuable than Windows 8?
No, but I'm thinking that, hey, a hole's a hole, and
say there was a work accident and somebody accidentally fell in the hole. I'm just saying.
Well, because it's what you know what when it does run on mobile device, people stand there, they can just throw it right in.
Ha 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 ha. Tim is not shy about his Windows.
I remain open-minded. Not tell you what, I haven't yet done the 8.1 thing. If it actually fixes the problem, I'm fine. I mean, that was always the issue. And you know what? If it fixes my complaint, and it continues to be hilarious like this, you've got a fan. I mean,
yeah. If nothing else, it gives us something to talk about.
I've been so mad at Microsoft for so long. It's nice to sit back and just laugh at them.
Oh, very nice. Well, let's switch our despise or at to Google. Today, I came across an article that says that Google updates its terms of service to explicitly say that it's analyzing your email for tailored ads. So this also comes from the Next Web. And basically, Google is going to scrape your email. I kind of assume they already did this, but yeah. Google is updating its terms of service. It's going to scrape your email to give you ads. The quote from Google says, "Our automated system analyzes your content, including emails, to provide you with personally relevant product features such as customized search results, tailored advertising, and spam and malware detection. This analysis occurs as the content is sent, received, and when it's stored." So, there you go. Google's going to start doing that. Like I said, I kind of thought they did it already.
I always thought they did it because I'm always getting stuff, like if I'm doing searching for hardware, I always get stuff like that. You know, I'll see, you know, advertisement on there.
But I think that's them. That's them watching what you're searching for. This is
right.
The problem is I get so much spam that my tailored search engines are going to be for things that I don't really need. I'm just kidding.
I don't get that much spam.
No,
it does a pretty good job.
It's not scraping your spam. I mean, everybody gets the same spam, right?
Well, it says it's going to scrape what's sent, received, and when it's stored. So,
I'm sure they're going to. If you're getting spam, they're going to know it. They're not going to give you any advertisement.
I know.
Getting blue pills and stuff like that. Maybe they will.
I don't know. Just from a different account. Just have automated emails sent to yourself about how you hate advertising, and
you get advertisings about how to keep your computer from getting advertisings on it.
Something of that nature. Yeah, I don't know. You could game it somehow.
It'll just be advertising to install Microsoft Security Essentials, but you're running your Gmail on a Windows XP machine, and it blows up.
Well, I'm sorry. I almost processed all that. I was thinking about how somebody suggested that if you're in a bad mood, just like search for like cats or some kittens. Like if you're really depressed or whatever, you just like search for kittens. And I think you could just email yourself about kittens and
what's my result?
And then like, you know, the rest of the day, you just like you look at things about, you know, you just have things about kittens like just put in front of you, and it, you know, it's all automated now. So it's real pick me up.
Your daily cat picture?
Yeah, but you don't have to search for it. I mean, Google just says, here you go.
Right.
Puppies, it just knows. Puppies.
So anyway, April 1st is over. Next April 1st. Just go to your friend's computer and just, you know, search for
puppies.
Like, there you go.
I like puppies.
Where to buy
big rolls of plastic or something. Anywho. I'm sorry. I'm so elated with this Windows stuff. I just have had the best day.
Nice. Well, here's something that can help maybe make it even better, make you sleep better at night. The first part of the TrueCrypt audit had come back. And I don't know if you guys remember, we had talked about that. TrueCrypt, you know, we'll do encryption, encrypts folders, encrypts files. It actually will encrypt your hard drive. It's supposed to be open source, but there was never been a true audit. So people were like, well, what do we do? The first part came back and and GHacks says that no backdoors were found in the first part of the TrueCrypt audit. I know that Steve Gibson today talked about this briefly for a little bit on Security Now. So if you listen to the April 15th episode, you can check that. They did find some issues with some stuff, but both Steve Gibson, Bruce Schneider, and other security people said, you know, what they found were so small and irrelevant that it's not going to keep them away from using TrueCrypt. So it's still in the process. It's glad to see that it actually is moving forward. But the first part came back and they said, you know, from what was found, I mean, I think it's a 36-page PDF article. It'll be in the show notes, a link to the site, and then from there you can download the paid PDF. I didn't have time to read it, but
that sounds, oh my gosh, 36 PDF pages. I bet that's pretty meaty stuff.
Yeah. So it sounds like things are moving along with that, and if they came back, and here's my thought, if they came back and they said, you know what, TrueCrypt is 100% awesome, rainbows, jelly beans, unicorns, I may have to wonder, like, really, how can something be so awesome?
Nothing's perfect, so.
Right. So having them come back and say it's good, these are some of the things they can work on, but overall, it's a great product and it's secure as of right now. Like I said, this is a partial command. This is the Windows bootloader and the kernel is what this report emphasizes on. But for them to come back and say they have some stuff to work on, it could be better, but overall, it's great. I think that's it's good enough for me, and I'm going to continue using it, and we'll be doing that.
Yeah, cool. It's very cool. I'm sorry. It's off the top of your head. Do you remember, like, or you said you didn't read it, but I'm wondering, like, an example of, like, some little thing they found, like, yeah, we would have done differently, but I mean,
sure.
Somewhat negligible.
Right. Well, here it says the following vulnerabilities were found: weak volume header key, something algorithm, medium. Sensitive information might be paged out from kernel stacks, medium. Multiple issues in the bootloader decompressor, medium. Windows kernel driver uses memset to clear sensitive data, medium. Gobbledygook, low. Git wipe pass count, wipe buffer can cause blue screen of death, informational. So, But yeah, if you go to istruecryptauditedyet.com, they kind of do a quick summary about what's going on with that.
Very good.
Okay. And really, I mean, TrueCrypt 7.1a came out. Oh gosh, when did that one come out?
7.1a.
I'm sorry. Let's see. February 7th, 2012. And it makes me think of something that last or 2 weeks ago when I was at NELF and I was listening to John Mad Hall talk, and he's talking about how come people complain or how come people, and I'm just referencing to this, it's not necessarily because of this, because I know they're still working on stuff, but how come people will say, hey, I found this video editor in Linux, it hasn't been updated in 3 years, what's going on? And he says, maybe it's done, maybe it's just finished. Like, there's no more to be done to it. It is where it's at. And it makes me think of that. So, like I said, TrueCrypt 7.1a came out it's been 2 years ago, and they haven't released another one because maybe it's just done. Maybe there's no more, you know, to do with it. But I think
it works out well.
Right, and I think, yeah, and it works out well. I think after this audit, they may come out with another version, because I think it would be behoove of them to go back and tweak it and say, okay, now we've, you know, thank you for the audit, we've made these changes, and here's a better product. But, you know, there's a reason why sometimes there are products out there that are old and they just work, probably because they're done.
That's,
you don't have to keep coming out with .1, update 1.
It's unfortunate when something you like has a lot of unnecessary features added to it for the sake of it being new or newer.
Right.
Extracting money from your pocket. It's like, I love getting updates with a little piece of software I love, and I'm running, I'm like, oh, there's an update, so you install it. I'm like, oh, look, it does that now. I'm like, oh, well, I wish it had done that. You know, and so this sort of thing. You know, it's not like a major security thing, but I love to see a little features added. But I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, in my very humble opinion, it's like going back to 2003. Word processors were pretty good. It's like, it pretty much processed all my words. I mean, there was only so many features that really probably should have needed add. I feel like many of the updates to Word are just like, for the sake of making it look and feel new, I always wonder how many of them were really necessary.
Right.
But that's a very interesting point that, oh my gosh, there actually are people out there that just are like, hey, it's finished. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Isn't it a strange world where something that's 2 years old is like, just bury it. It's old. It's done. It's dead. I don't think I've ever had a 2-year-old car. But the software hasn't been updated in 2 years. It's like the developer, he must have just died. He passed away.
Right. Anybody hear from John lately? Where'd he go?
Oh, boy. Oh gosh, it's crazy. A two year old phone. You might as well just step on it.
That's right,
like a bug. Gosh, it's insanity.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, speaking of things that are just kind of done, I think that's me. Put a fork in me. I'm done.
Done. I'm done. Hey, how did you manage to get through a whole week without like traveling many states away, Martin? I mean, it just
actually. I'm going to say it really quiet, just between you and me and everybody else listening. It's been a really good week so far. So I got a couple things coming up. Oh, let me tell you about this story. Actually, I'll save it for later. I'll save it to next week. I got a story about how, as a business owner, always be on your toes for new clients because you never know when they're going to strike.
Strike?
Well, not strike. Like, not physical, but the opportunity to sell your business and then to maybe even land a job at a vet.
Awesome. Oh, so, very nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week.
It was good having you local. I mean,
it was nice to stay local. I know my family appreciated it.
It was good having you around this week, and so all that. It's nice to travel. It's good to have you back. So
that's your guys' turn.
You guys have to come. I don't go places.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna. I'm not gonna make LLF this year. I don't think so. Because I'm costing my wife too much money with these doctor bills. I'm serious.
Well, it's you have until October, so we're good.
I might do that. It's not too bad for me. But no,
it's close to you, Tim. It's not that far from you.
Three-hour drive?
Three and a half.
Yeah, three and a half. Mm-hmm. Three and a half hours. No big deal. But that's not really like traveling. I ain't going out of state and doing things and going places. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you're going home when you go there. So
yeah, that's where all my family is. So that's. But I'll still go.
I mean, I had a great time, but I didn't sleep. I did not sleep. And Martin will tell you, I think I had what 4 hours total in 3 days, 4 days.
I don't know. I was sleeping.
And then, well, I don't think you slept a whole lot either. You slept better than me. But and then going home when we stopped at the truck, the rest stop, I'm thinking somebody's stealing Dora's car. I'm so exhausted. I'm not paying attention because there's a million Voyagers just like what you have. And Tim, and yeah. I thought these ladies were stealing Dora's car. I went out there and started yelling at them. Oh, it was terrible, man.
I know you're tired because, I mean, it's like everybody is approaching me. I'm walking toward you guys, and you just walk right past me. I kept going, looking for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was at night, too.
Hey, before we go, though, I do want to mention that we talked about a pre-show, but TechNuts PC in the chat is Jeff, the new host for PodNuts Daily. He's came out with one that he interviewed. Oh, my gosh, Matt. It's gone.
Matt.
Thank you. Matt from PodNuts. What?
Matt Rainey.
Yes, Matt Rainey from PodNuts Pro. He interviewed him. Great, great interview. He also emailed another person. He also interviewed another gentleman that is a tech from Ireland. So check those out.
That's the one I listened to. I didn't hear the one with Matt Rainey. So,
yeah.
Great, man.
Yeah,
great.
Really, it was classic. Really good.
It was really good. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know which one it was, but if it was the PodNuts Daily, I should just look
it up. I think it was Daily.
But the one with
Matt.
Okay, well, that's the one I didn't hear, but I heard the other one.
Okay,
it was great. It was great. It was like, I don't know. I guess he's like the new host. You would have no idea. It's just, I mean, it's like having an old friend back listen to the daily. So, thanks for picking up that torch and keep running with it, man. I mean, it was great. It was just awesome. I think like these guys said earlier, you have a voice. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he's a you know, he has his own business too, so we should get him on.
Oh yeah, I don't. Yeah, not to take that from him at all. It's the No, it was fantastic. So
we could, we'll get him on and say hi and stuff like that. So I've also been working with Matt Rainey to get Matt Rainey on to join us for an episode. So that would be fun.
Great. That would be great. Also,
it's gonna be a good time. But if you guys want to talk to us, send us some email, send us a voicemail. I did have some email, but I forgot to read it. So we'll read it next week. But if you guys want to get a hold of us, Mitch, how can they do that?
Right, if you want to get a hold of us via voicemail, which I don't think we've got any in a while, you can send us a voicemail at 7076podnut, or you can email me or any of us at geeksters@podnuts.com. I don't have a Podnuts email, so if you reference me, but no one ever asks me anything, so why would they? You guys are the geeks. I'm a third wheel. Yeah, I'm a third wheel.
Third wheel. You're the third wheel on a tricycle, my friend.
The front one.
Oh, that's it, baby.
I never learned how to drive.
You're the big wheel in the Geeksters tricycle of life.
On the Geeksters tricycle, you do the steering and the driving.
Okay, yeah.
We just coast behind you.
Hey, you guys do it full time. I do it. I don't want to do it full time because people drive me nuts. But it's okay. Customers would drive me nuts.
Well, you know why? It's because you're wearing that Ravens hat.
Oh yeah, my Ponitz hat is in the car.
I give you a hard
time. Work.
Hey, anybody wants to get a hold of me? I'm in like Tim in the Ponitz forums. You can email me Tim at realpcrepair.com. I'm Tim Bauermeister from the G Plus, or I preferred if you just emailed Martin of them and just put something nasty in there for Google to scrape.
Oh, all right. So here's the challenge. Have Google scrape my email, martin@obandocomputing.com. There it is. Send it. Ring it.
That's, you know what? That's a great, that's our con. That's the contest we've been looking for.
No. All right, I suppose, but yes, if you do want to get a hold of me, martin@obandocomputing.com is where you can do it. I'm masculine in the forums. When I do make it my appearance on the chat room, that I also want to remember to throw out there that if you're looking at buying anything, Easter's coming up, some birthdays are coming up, like son turns 14 this month. Oh my gosh. Podnuts.com. Yeah, Tim, if you want to buy my son a gift, podnuts.com/Amazon. It's where you can do that. Oh my goodness, guys. It's been a blast, and I do have to get going tonight. Yeah. But it's been fun, guys. I will see you guys next fiscal. What gigs do I haven't even said it in a long time. Is it what is
Stay
it?
Stay gruntled.
What?
Stay gruntled.
Gruntled. I am so gruntled to talk to you guys that I'm gonna see you next fiscal Geeksters week. All right. Bye guys.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.